Turn your Bibles now to Luke 17. We're going to look at a little short scripture here, and then I want to turn you to another verse that I want you to help me quote it as we go through this lesson. We're talking about in everything give thanks. That's what God said to do. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So if you want to be in any part of God's will, then be a thankful person, and especially to God. And that's what we're going to talk about. The story here in starting in chapter 17, verse 11 to 19. We're going to read that kind of together here in just a minute. Now, if I was in a children's church, I might start it off like something like this. In a little town on the top of a hill at the end of a narrow street, a kind old man with tears in his eyes wiped the dust from his tired feet. He sat with Siram and I won't go into that. I get going with the kids here. I would start off with that. I want to start with this on verse 11 here. We're in Luke chapter 7, verse 11. Now, men, I want you to read aloud when we start. Verse 11, ladies, you'll do verse 12, men will do 13, ladies 14, all the way down to verse 19. Now, I'll kind of get you started so we can kind of stay in step, because we got fast talkers in here, we got medium talkers in here, we got slow talkers in here, so let's all stay together the best we can. All right, first of all, men, we'll start. Verse 11, and it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Ladies, and as he entered, okay, verse 13, men, and they lifted their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Ladies, and when he saw them, he said unto them, all right, men, and one of them,
when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God.
Ladies, and fell down
at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan.
Men, and Jesus
answering said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9?
Ladies, they are not found. Men,
and he said unto them, arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole.
All right, so we look at those verses there, and over and over, I want to show you, go back and look at 15. It says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and here's the key, with a loud voice, glorified God. Now, look down to verse 18. The same thing we hear again. And there were not found that returned to give him glory, glory to God, save this stranger. Twice there, God says, you need to give glory to God. And here were only one out of ten came back, and they were cured of leprosy. Leprosy is not a lot here in America, but, those accounts we read of leprosy, it'll eat your fingers right off your hand, and you're still alive. I mean, you, nobody wants to be a leper, and yet it's just that way sometimes. But I want you to turn to another verse now, and I want you to keep your Bible there, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Just keep it open. If you've already memorized it, you can say it without looking, but we want to say this two or three times as we go through today. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. All right, you ready? Here, let's all say it together. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Let's say it again. In everything, give thanks, concerning you. That's me, and that's you, and that's everybody that loves the Lord. God says, give it. Our Lord makes things so simple, doesn't he? And sometimes we can't even catch on to it. because we're not listening close enough to the Lord and watching how He goes through and teaches us every time we read something in the Bible. It's an attitude that demands action. Give it, God says. Give thanks. We see that thankfulness pleases God. It brings glory to God just by the act of thankfulness. And yet only 1 out of 10 came back. You know, if we live to be 65, I've already done that part, to 65 years of age, that's about 24,000 days or so. I haven't counted mine all the way through, but that's about 24,000 days. If I gave thanks to God only one time a day, that would be all this. 24,000 times I could bring glory to God just by that one little phrase of giving Him thanks in my life. 2 times a day, 48,000 times, 4 times a day, 96,000 times in my life, I could bring glory to God by just saying, "Thank you, Lord." Just that little bit. And there's so many other ways that we can, of course, give thanks to God as we go through our life. One reason I think we miss the opportunity is this: we forget. We just forget to do that. Some days are busy days and whole days. I've done that before. I've worked on projects when we were doing large events for teenagers, and we'd sometimes have it out in the woods someplace, sometimes at another outdoor thing where you have to go and work and work and work and get all your props up and everything like that. We did things, especially at Halloween. We'd have, I think we had 1,400 kids came out for Halloween. And, I can't tell you all that, boy, I'd love to. But, we would get out there in the woods and make the trail and work and put our sound system up in the trees so they couldn't see it, but it sounded down on them, and just a very few lights along the way that they walk, and then they come into our building. But, I can remember working all day long and going, and on my way home getting mad at myself because I say, "Ab, I don't think you even talked to the Lord today. You worked for Him all day long and you didn't even say, 'Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to do this.'" Not even one time. Maybe I did it when I first got up. "Thank you, Lord, for the night of rest," and things like that. But here I'm pouring my heart out for the Lord and trying to get teens under the sound of the gospel, and yet I work all day long and don't even experience the closeness to God in my life. The Holy Spirit of God wants to walk and talk with us every day of our life, and He will. And I tell you, when I'm working on project, I say, "Dear Lord, help me today, O Spirit of God, to give something I'm working on, tell me to stop it now, or tell me to go on." I want it that clear. I don't want to be doing something He doesn't want me to be involved in. And yet here, only one returned, and just like I was in the same situation back then. But where are the other 9? One author said maybe they were so caught up in the gift to remember the giver. And I remember when I just started working there at Highland Park and with the kids. I had to write some curriculum for them, for the kids, and then the junior high, and then the senior, the teenagers. And I wrote 2 different lessons. I remember those because of the title. One was "Gimme, Gimme, Gimme." That was a Sunday school lesson. "Gimme, Gimme, Gimme. That's all I want. Just somebody give me something. Give everybody look at me. Give me something, please." I wrote another lesson: "Me, me, me." And if I'm trying to get it across to them, you know, don't live your life like that. You know, you can live a greater life than just things like that. And when I started getting that one day when I got mad at myself on the way home because I hadn't talked to the Lord, I started putting my something on a little card like that. I have 4 of these. I only have 1 here, but this is a little card I did for myself, It's laminated. It's on a cardstock. We sell these through our ministry. We got four of them. And this one says, "Enlarge my faith." I have that one in my pocket almost every day of the year because I'm still weak on that. I still want greater faith. I want more faith. I want more. And I can have more. I can have more if I allow God to work in my life. But so I put it on a list there. I think the first one I said was something about talking to God every day. And I put that card in my pocket the next day, and I'd walk around, and I wasn't used to having something there, and I'd pull it out, and it'd say, "Pray daily and often." Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And it started reminding me of that. And I started doing it over and over and over again. And then I said, "Well, what about this other area of your life over here?" And I started putting that, "Enlarge my faith, pray daily and often, make Jesus known." That's another card I have just like that. And so a lady can put them in their purse or in our pocket. And all of a sudden it just gets me in the routine, gets me to develop that godly habit in my life. Walking and talking with the Lord and praying to Him often during the day, you see. He wants to walk and talk with me. And it seems like sometimes I wasn't even doing that. I didn't want that. But really, I forgot that. It was the biggest problem, I think. And that's what helped me a whole lot. Or perhaps you need a child with Down syndrome. We have a child with Down syndrome. Anybody here have a child with Down syndrome in your family? See, it's kind of a rare thing, but it's a rare blessing that God gave us instead of all you all. A Down syndrome child. We got a little brochure out. I'm doing a little booklet on him right now. He's 38 years of age now. He would love to be here. He had the extreme opportunity one time to to sing the song. What was the name of the song you sang, the first one? That one where you go, "What?"
When he reached out his hand for me, or
the first, yes, "Ship Ahoy." That's the one he likes. And we were down at Pastor's church, and he asked Paul to come up beside of him and sing that song with him. And Paul can't sing a lick, you know. I mean, I'm worse than he is, but man, he just remembers that to this day. And but he's Down syndrome. I want to tell you to show you what God can do with even a Down syndrome child in this area of giving thanks. He'll teach you how to do that. Your child would teach you how to do that all day long. And let me read a couple things out of this little brochure we did several years ago, and I've redone it, and we're doing a little booklet now. It says Paul received over $2,000 in cash gifts for graduation. He graduated from the Milford High School in Cincinnati area, in Milford, and there was 1,400 students there, and he was voted to go on the student staff or the big circle of teenagers, whatever that was. He was voted to be the captain of the bowling team, of junior high bowling team, and he was the worst one in the bowling. But they voted him in, you know. And he just got a lot of good things happened through that. But Paul received 2,000 cash gifts for graduation. Seven of his former teachers came to his graduation open house. Several awards adorned his room. All 7 years of steady effort, Paul earned his black belt in karate, and now he's already earned his third degree black belt in karate, and he did every last thing they have to do in that. Nothing was made easier for him. In his church program and master clubs, he earned 30 badges. It took him about 4 years to do that, but he did every last thing it said to do. Let me give you this thought. Paul prayed often that he could be an assistant basketball coach. Guess what? You can hear Paul all over the gym now. We were sitting there, and he came up and asked me, said, "Dad, I want to be an assistant head basketball coach." And I said, I didn't know what to say. You know, how's this Downs child here going to be that? And he kept on, and I bought him a book on basketball and things, and he read the whole thing, and he can read and do all that. He graduated from that big school there with 400 graduated, and he was one of them. And they weren't supposed to clap for all the names, because that big, you know, in the big auditorium and all those names, it take them forever to graduate everybody. But you're not supposed to clap for anybody. When Paul came up, he started walking across the platform, and all the students stood up and started clapping, and the whole place stood up, up in the balcony and everywhere. You're not supposed to do that, you know, but they did for him. He fit in just well, really good. But he's been assistant head basketball coach for 7 years now. You can hear him all over the gym. But he does real good, and the kids just love him. Let's see, a couple other things I want to show you. In a Downs child, life seems to be so much more basic. The God-implanted values just seem to come out unhindered by the selfishness of this world. And Paul has been through several surgeries and things like that, but that's all right. He came through all of that. Paul had all kind of surgeries. I was trying to find one other thing here. In our church, a widow of 10 years, walked in my wife's ladies' class in tears, and Janice asked her, "What's wrong?" And the lady said, "Oh, it's Paul again." And thinking the worst, of course, Janice pursued asking what he said. And the lady again replied, "Oh, he kissed me and told me how pretty I was. And I just realized it's been 10 years since someone said that to me." It takes a Downs child to do something like that, you see. God can use anybody. Anybody to do wonderful, great thing, change lives of others. I've had pastors come when we in churches, and he and I preach a lot. We do a team preaching. He starts the first 8 minutes, and I finish the message, you know. But I've had pastors just come in tears after the thing is over and said, I wish God could use me even that much. Even that much could he use me. And God certainly can. He certainly can. So we're back to giving thanks. He taught us how to give thanks. Love is everywhere. Kisses are everywhere. Oh man, it's a wonderful thing in my house. I can't wait to get back there. That's what God wants for us. Thankfulness is God's will. It's His desire for our life. It's obedience to His will that we need to be concerned about. So it pleases God. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Say that with me again. You ready? In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. All right. For about 3 months before my high school graduation, I kept hearing words, six words came in my mind for about 3 months. And the words said, "Tell your daddy you love him." Back then, a lot of families were raised where you didn't do a lot of hugs and kisses in your family. I mean, we all knew we loved each other, and we did, and we acted as a family, but you didn't express it all that much. There just wasn't a lot of hugs and kisses and stuff like that, the intimate type things that you can do as a family. For about those 3 months, that's what was going through my mind. And those words, "Tell your daddy you love him." I couldn't do that. We just didn't do it. And I can remember one day he came out, and I was going to take him across the river and over the creek and to a little store where my mom and dad had a little store in a little bitty town in Tennessee. And I would take him over in the truck, and then I would I was trying to make money for go to college because I just graduated, and I would go about 5 miles over the next mountain. Everything's mountain here, mountain there, mountain everywhere, and I'd go over there, and I found me a job in a funeral home, So I kept doing that and trying to tell Daddy I love him, and I can remember to this day sitting there. It was on a winter day, sitting there in the old truck, warming it up and waiting for Dad to come out. And I can remember sitting there and turning my head like this, where Dad would sit over there and say, "Dad, I want you to know I love you, sir. I love you, Daddy. I love you." Oh, I wanted to do that so much. 3 months that went through my head. Just so easy. Tell your daddy 6 words, never more, never less. Tell your daddy you love him. You love him. And he was 55 years of age when I graduated. And so that was one day we took him over. And then when he got there and pulled in the parking lot of the little store, I had to turn my head this way so he wouldn't see the tears run down my eyes. I wanted to say that. And he got out over there on that side and said, "Goodbye, son." Oh, what words. "Goodbye, son." And I took off. I didn't want him to see me crying. But I still hadn't said it. And I got over to the funeral home. And just as soon as I walked in the room where the lady was going to tell me what to do today, the phone rang. And she picked it up, took a few notes down, and pushed a button, and I heard the sirens, and the ambulance took off. And she put the phone down, and then just looked right at me, just like one of those, why did he look at me like that? But she looked right at me, and she said, "Son, that call was for your dad. You better go home." Now, she wasn't crying about it, but I still do. "You better go home." And I got in that old pickup truck, and I mean, I put the pedal to the metal. Some of you will know what that means. We had a place called Dead Man's Curve. Big old transfer trucks would go. It was Highway 27. It was one back then, went all the way from there all the way to Florida on Highway 27. But when I came around the bend, our little town, you can see a little opening down there, a little town. It was 1 mile down there from the top of the hill where it was. And I opened the windows and I was screaming out all the way down that hill, "Daddy, I love you, I love you, I love you, Daddy, I love you." And I went on down and pulled around where the entrance was. And I ran in there and they already had him on a cot laid out. He was already gone. And I jumped right on top of his body and pulled his head around so I could scream in his ear, "Daddy, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, Daddy, I love you so much." They had to pull me off of him. And that was a time I'll never forget. I could have said it, the words were so easy, "I love you." A hug would be so simple. "I love you. I really do." And sometimes we don't even do that. Maybe it's because our parents didn't do it like that. I don't know. But somebody needs to man up or woman up perhaps and break the ice. I've met so many 40-year-old men and have a 70-year-old dad, and neither one will budge. Neither one will say it first. They can't get it out of their mouth. But it needs to be. That's what God wants us to express to Him, our love. It should come fairly easy for us. I buried Mom and Dad on a Tennessee hillside, and then we had to move 350 miles up to Cincinnati, where we've been this time. But I still go. If I get within 100 miles of that graveyard, I'm going. I had living that far away My best year, I went to the graveyard 6 times in that 1 year. And I just stand there. I know that they're not there. They're in heaven. I understand that. But I want to go there and honor them. And I just go there and just say the same things. I love you, Mom. I love you, Dad. Mom lived about 14 more years, and we literally smothered her with love. And 4 kids. But it's a tough lesson to hold, but you have to try it sometime. If you need to put something in your pocket and look at it, oh yeah, oh yeah. And while I go from here to my car, I can give a 1 minute prayer. Dear Lord, I want to thank you for all the goodness you've done in my life. Lord, you've saved me from the hell forever. And God, you've given me a ministry to do. And Lord, you give me a family to raise and raise a godly family. And now they're serving the Lord. And dear Lord, I just want to thank you for that. And maybe I just do that in 30 seconds. You can pray like that. You sit down to rest for just a few minutes. I can pray, Lord, I want to thank you for my wife. Oh, dear God, what a godly wife means. Oh, I love you, dear Lord. And maybe I can pray just for her. Maybe I can pray about some job I'm working on, whatever it is. But we can stop. We have time to say thank you, God. We have time to pray and all of that kind of thing. We have plenty of time to do that if we just get into the habit of it. God says, give it, give it, give thanks is what he says, you see. Remember the verses, verse 15, and one of them, 1 out of 10, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. The same type word just below. It glorified God what he did. What did he do? He gave thanks.
Amen.
He gave thanks. And, sometimes we just need to put in those simple things into our life and we don't do them like we used to when we were really, really loving God so much we couldn't wait till church started to bring glory to God again. Every time, every single time it brings glory to God. Paul does in our life. I've talked to him twice since I've been gone and He brings up your name every time. Tell Brother Moore that I love him. So good. But we have the love circle now. You can't get out of our house without going through the love circle. That's hugging and kissing the whole family together. Now, as they grew up to be teenagers, they wanted to, let's spread out the a little more space, please. But bring your kids up. Those of you that are going to be married someday here, bring them up and teach them how to do things like that. Well, I had some more things to say, but let me close with this from the Bible verses here. Look what Christ has done for us. Now, listen to these verses. This is what Christ has done for you and for me. You have eternal life, John 3:15. You have everlasting life, John 3:16. You shall never die, John 11:26. This is life eternal, 17:3 in the book of John. Hath everlasting life, John 3:36. Shall live forever, John 6:58. Unto them eternal life, John 10:28. To us eternal life, 1 John 5:11. You have eternal life, 1 John 5:13. Look at it. You have eternal life, everlasting life, never die, life eternal, everlasting life, live forever. To them eternal life, to us eternal life, you have eternal life. And we can't find 2 minutes a day to say thank you, God. Thank you, dear Lord. I forgot what you've done for me. As we give God glory, we're practicing the presence of the Lord is what we're doing. What about the Psalm of David? Oh, I love that. Psalm 145. I wish I'd quote it right now, but I use that with our daughter. We had one daughter. She taught in a Christian school in Orlando, Florida, over 1,200 of them, and it's a good Christian school there. She taught there for 25 years and had two cancers. And one of them is the cancer that kills about 1,200 women in America each year. They don't even have a name for it. They don't have a pill for it. Nothing touches it. Anyway, she has eternal life. Now let me finish here. What else does God give us? He gives us a crown of life. He gives us a heavenly home in John, a new name in Isaiah. I like that song. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. You ought to sing that for us. I can't do that. I sing it myself all the time. I'm in my little room. He gives us a crown of life, a heavenly home, a new name, answers to prayer. He gives us power to serve Him. He gives us restoration in 1 John 1:9. We can have a total makeover if need be. Total makeover. Like from Saul to Paul. Guidance for all of life. He gives wisdom and knowledge and understanding. He gives assurance. What a great gift. Assurance. Assurance in 2 Timothy 1:12. He gives comfort. We're joint heir with Christ. He gives a fruitful life, peace, victory, protecting care, guidance. Psalm 119 has 176 verses to remind us of the great value of His Word. All this, and I can't even come up with one little prayer to God per day. I ought to have 30 prayers to God per day. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Over and over and over. Say it with me, our verse again. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, let's close our message with this. Let's just quietly allow the Spirit of God time to do whatever He wants to do in me or you. Think of this. Jesus Christ is all-inclusive. Are you here but still without the Savior? It could be in a crowd this size. Doesn't matter if you're in a Christian school. I had the opportunity to lead many students in college that would come to my office, and they didn't know for sure. Everybody told them that. They told them they were saved, but they didn't know for sure. And the opportunity to lead them to Christ. Think of this. We're never more than one prayer away from making everything right with God. Do you know that? Dear Lord, I'm that close to being saved today, in this hour or the preaching hour. Dear Lord, I'm that close to putting what we've been talking about in our life today. And maybe we're that close to putting a little card in there so I won't forget it like I've forgotten all the other messages I've heard. Maybe I could put it in my pocket and carry it with me. We're never more. I can't get over that. Some person may be the biggest gossip in the church, one prayer away from getting that out of our life forevermore. It works. God does it. Now let's bow our head for just a moment.